Good morning. I am Michelle Tyreen Johnson, sitting in for Gina Kaufman, and this is KCUR's Central Standard. This morning, we're going to start our food hour talking about a popular beverage in Mexican restaurants. It's called Michelada, and it's a cocktail that mixes beer with clamato juice. Joining us now to talk more about Micheladas is Bruce Wiley, creator of the Michelada Map and a passionate Michelada enthusiast. Hey, Bruce, how are you doing?
Good. Thank you so much for having me on, Michelle. I appreciate it.
Good. I have this bad feeling I have just butchered the pronunciation of that drink several times. Yes. So, Bruce, tell me a little bit about Micheladas. Tell me about how they're, what's the history of it, first of all?
Sure. And, you know, to be fair, you know, I myself am not of Hispanic origin. So, you know, I may not even be the best one to give you the pronunciation. But yeah, the Michelada, it is, the origin of it actually has kind of some urban legends around it. No one knows exactly where it began, but it is a beverage of Mexican origin. One of my favorite urban legends around how it started was back in the 1960s. There was a gentleman named Miguel Esper who was in Mexico, and he started asking for his beer. He asked it for it served with lime juice and salt on ice. And so other people saw him ordering this and they thought it was kind of similar to a lemonade or a limonada. And so they were asking for Miguel's Limonada because they wanted the similar beverage that he was ordering. And then over time, the name just got shortened down to Michelada, and it became kind of known as that moving forward.
Great. So is it fairly, and I realize that I just mispronounced your name, Bryce. Is it popular across the country? Is it just certain regions of America where it's popular?
It's more popular definitely in the South. I think the closer you are to Mexico, in Texas and in Southern California, I think it's very easy to find this beverage when you're at any sort of a Mexican restaurant. It's fairly standard. And I think the further north you go, it becomes more difficult to find, you know, certain major cities. If you're in, you know, New York City, Washington, D.C., Chicago, you know, they'll have places that know how to make a Michelada. But I do think the further north you go, it becomes more difficult to track one down. Absolutely.
And the nickname for it, which probably will be easier on the ears of people listening, is Red Beer, right?
Yes. You'll hear it referred to as a red beer as well in some places.
I put something on Facebook yesterday up about the show today and how I was doing a story on this. And a friend of mine from Kansas City who now lives in San Diego was saying how here she mentions the drink and people are like, what are you talking about? But in San Diego, people are like, oh, breakfast drink. Is that an example of how from region to region it has a sort of familiarity?
Yeah, that's a perfect example. Like I said, I really do think, you know, the closer you are to Mexico, you'll see more places that know how to make it. You know, more bartenders that have heard of it have been asked to make the drink, and more Mexican restaurants that'll even offer it just as part of their menu. So it definitely varies by region.
So it also feels like it's a little bit of an insider club. Like yesterday, I'll have to full disclosure here: black girl from Kansas had never had one before, and I ordered one yesterday. In a restaurant, but it wasn't on the menu. I had to ask for it, and then they like immediately knew what.
Yes.
So is that sort of common too, that it's you have to know to ask for it?
Yeah, I do think there is a bit of that, and I think that, you know, if you are in a Mexican restaurant, I think it's always worth asking because, yeah, oftentimes a bartender or the restaurant will have heard of it, will know exactly how to make it, but it's maybe not something they put on the menu because they don't, you know, get asked about it enough, or, you know, they don't feel like it would sell well. But, you know, I think it's always worth asking if they know how to make one, because usually they have the ingredients on hand to put one together.
So where are you located again?
I'm in Houston, Texas.
Houston, Texas. Houston.
Yes.
So what's the typical way they make it in Houston?
So, you know, the fun thing about the Michelada is it varies from even bar to bar. But, you know, typically what you'll see is it'll have, some bars will have a pre-made mix that they'll have ready to go for their Micheladas. Some will have bartenders make them as you order. But it's going to include, you know, the lime juice, The tomato and or clamato juice, definitely hot sauces, and then sometimes additional sauces as well. So you'll see possibly some Worcestershire sauce, maybe even like a Maggi sauce, which adds umami to the drink, sometimes even soy sauce. So each place will make it a little bit different, but it's basically that lime juice, tomato juice, and then that special blend of hot sauces that I think each bar kind of puts together and puts their own spin on.
So it's sort of like a Bloody Mary with beer.
Yeah, I think that's the easiest way to explain. I mean, to somebody who's unfamiliar, I
Right.
think Bloody Mary beer is kind of a good way to start explaining it. I will say it's very different also as well in flavor profile. Like I know people who do not like drinking Bloody Marys but enjoy drinking a Michelada. So I think that there is a much different flavor profile to it. But I think to the uninformed, that's a really good way to get their mind around what the drink is and what the cocktail is.
So tell us about this Michelada map that you have. So you map out where one could get them or what they're like in different parts.
Sure. So yeah, it started just as a way to really build community around it. I fell in love with the Michelada on visits to Mexico, and then came back to Houston, and we're very, I would say, spoiled when it comes to having good Mexican cuisine and great Mexican restaurants and bars, and was able to track down Micheladas. But when I was talking to friends and family in other parts of the country, they were, maybe had not even heard of it, and also were having a hard time even finding one, nearby where they lived. So the website really grew out of, let's find a way to build a community around it. Let's find a way to map this out and allow people to, one, submit, if they go to a restaurant and, like you said, they order one maybe off menu and the place makes it for them, they're able to, submit that to me on the site. We get it added to the map. That way other people can then go to that location, know that they can get a Michelada there. And then, of course, on the site, we allow people to, rate and review the restaurants and their Michelada so that we're, just kind of sharing that information and letting others know, hey, here's a great place to get one. They know how to make a good one, and it's right in your neighborhood, in your city.
So, have you ever been to Kansas City by any chance?
I have been to Kansas City, yes, several
So,
times.
have you found that it was fairly easy to find one here?
I would say no. I think that, I think the Midwest is definitely more of a difficult place to find one. I mean, I think currently we only have three Kansas City locations that are on the map. But of course, we're always hoping for more. But yeah, I would just say it's an area that would be a little bit harder to find a place that'll make you a Michelada.
Yeah, when I went looking for one yesterday, it took the third place before I was able to find it. There's a certain blend of seasoning that I think is popular. That was another thing I learned on my Facebook page. I'm blanking on the name, but it's some sort of salt, I think.
Yeah, you might be referring to tajin.
That's it. Yes.
Yes,
Yes.
tajin is it's a Mexican seasoning. A lot of places will use tajin. They'll line the rim with sort of either tajin or salt and tajin, kind of like you would see on a margarita.
Okay.
So it adds like a spicy salted rim to the drink. And then sometimes they'll also, put the tajin in the spice mixture that's inside of the drink as well.
And I think I got both in my drink, and it looked really pretty. It made the drink look really pretty.
Yes, and delicious.
So, one last thing before we close out. What makes it a great drink to have with Mexican food?
I think it really does have this umami flavor profile that just kind of it's refreshing, but it also like keeps you coming back. It's just it's almost similar to, I don't know, some Asian foods in that sense, like where it's just delicious and it's refreshing, and so it's great for a hot day. And then of course it goes pairs perfectly well with this the spice that you're getting on the Mexican food that you're going to be eating. So it's one of those drinks that I think just has a flavor that keeps you coming back for more.
Excellent. That's a great note to end on. Thank you, Bryce. This was so awesome. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We've been speaking with Bryce Wiley, creator of the Michelada Map. When we return, we'll talk with food critics about their suggestions on the best places in Kansas City to get your Mexican food grub on. More of KCUR Central Standard in just a minute. Stay with us. I'm Michelle Tyrene Johnson, sitting in for Gina Kaufman, and this is KCUR's Central Standard. Last month, we talked about the Kansas City taco and what makes it unique with Jose Roulette. As food editor of Cowboys and Indians magazine and writer of The Taco Trail, he is something of an expert on the subject. What began as a conversation about the Kansas City taco unfolded into commentary on authenticity in Mexican cuisine. As Gina asks him to unpack the term authentic, he explains the complications of the word, especially when discussing food.
You know, one of the people you quote in your article, published in Eater magazine, has this to say. He told you all the Yelpers and Food Network fans across the country have put their quote-unquote knowledge on things they have zero experience in culturally or emotionally. Access to Twitter or Yelp does not make you an expert on how my grandparents made our food. Can you unpack that comment?
Sure. There's this idea that only abuelas, grandmothers, make real traditional Mexican food. And not just Mexican food, right? Everyone's got some sort of grandmother story. So there's this false or misconception that there's this ancestral knowledge passed down that does not include fried tacos, because fried tacos are American. So Americans now believe in this idea that authentic Mexican food, and I really hate that word, authentic, because there's no such thing, as I'll get to in a moment, but everyone thinks that their grandmother made the only legitimate food. Recipes or authenticity exist only on paper and is a myth overall.
You know, why don't you go ahead and tell the story of the Kansas City taco? Now that we've got some of this significance that it carries pretty well established, it was created here at a particular time and a particular place because of what was available here. In other words, I mean, even if you do believe in the idea of authenticity in abstract terms, it was authentic. It was a representation of local immigrants' reality.
Yes. I would say that tacos, just like anything else, are regional. What is the taco from Oaxaca is not the taco from Kansas City, which is where you had Mexican-Americans and Mexicans working alongside Italian Americans and Italian immigrants. And when you have population shifts and population encounters, there's an exchange of ideas, there's an exchange of food. Well, they wanted cheese on their tacos, but the only cheese they had was Parmesan. So that's what went on their taco. But the Mexican presence in Kansas goes as far back as the Santa Fe Trail's opening in the 1820s. So it's not like there was an unfamiliarity, but there was an increased presence with the railroads that has to deal with labor shortages. And so companies like the Santa Fe would go down to the border and ship up laborers.
You know, you do express some concern that the Kansas City taco is maybe going to be a casualty of the current trend toward this imagined ideal of what a taco is and is supposed to be from this kind of purist standpoint.
Right. So tacos are hyper-regional. They are created from the ingredients at hand, from market demands, population experience, movements. They're not transported. But I think that this idea of regionality is what makes the fried Kansas City taco a true, legitimate taco in the same way as a taco de Suadero or Al Pastor had in Mexico City. I don't want that to go away. People don't understand, or I think they don't understand. I hope this changes, that they have a taco. It's a real taco. It's their taco.
It's our taco.
Yeah, it's your taco, and it's real. Don't lose it. I think grandparents made it. Great-grandparents made this taco. It's got roots there. Don't unroot it for something that is fashionable right now.
That was Gina Kaufman discussing tacos and authenticity with Jose Roulet. On that topic, we're going to be talking about all the Mexican food for the next rest of the hour. So here with us today is our panel of critics for our latest Food Friday. Today we are joined by Feast Magazine's Jenny Vergara.
Vergara.
This is just not my day for that's pronunciation.
Okay. That's okay. Really it's like Sophia.
That's right. We go through this every time, right?
I know. That's all right.
That's okay. And this one's easy. And food blogger Mary Block. How you
Good
doing?
Morning.
How you doing?
Doing well.
They're regulars, so thank you guys for being here.
Of course.
All right. And also with us is Edgar Galicia. Did I get your name right?
Yes, you did.
Woohoo! All right. It's the start of a trend. And he is from the Central Avenue Betterment Association. Edgar, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Great. Okay, so I'm gonna toss an easy question to you. So we're gonna pretend that there is somebody in America who has never had Mexican food. I mean, I'm not familiar with somebody like that, but I'm sure that they exist somewhere, right? If you were going to take them to a meal here in Kansas City, like either side of the state line, what place would you go and what would you recommend they eat?
I think I would go with Flautas. And there is a number of places in both sides of the state line that serve fantastic flautas. And the reason I'm saying that is because flautas are not only simple to make, but they're way flavorful. And that would strike anyone with any palate.
All right. So for those listening, what would you recommend when you're craving Mexican food? Where do you go? Call in at 816-235-2888 and tell us your favorite spots for tacos, tamales, burritos, whatever floats your boat. You can also tweet us at KCURCST with your recommendations. That's KCURCST. If you know how to do Twitter, you know how to do that tweet thing. So, Jenny, same question for you. Mm-hmm. If you were going to take this person who knew nothing about Mexican food to a restaurant and order them something that would just like make that connection, where would you take them?
I would probably take them to the west side to Tacos El Gallo, just for street tacos. Just something really, really simple to start out. You know, it's one of those things where she has a nice variety of protein that you can put in, and some of it is not necessarily just chicken and beef. There's tripe, and there's pork head, and there's a few other things that would be unusual to try. But wrapped in a tortilla and tossed with cilantro and a little bit of raw onion, and hopefully some hot sauce or some good salsa on there, maybe a beer, maybe a horchata, whatever. I mean, that would be where I would go. Just start really simple with kind of just the basic street taco. And there's so many great places all over Kansas City that now serve great street tacos. That happens to be my favorite because it's in my hood.
You know, it's funny because I can remember I'm a you know, fourth generation Kansas City. And when like the only place you could get Mexican food was Annie Santa Fe on the plaza. Right. Remember that?
Wow. One? I do.
Yeah. I know. That's going to the way
back in the day.
Going back in the day. And then yep. I moved away, including mm-hmm. going to Austin, Texas, where I had like the best Tex-Mex in the world. And then I come back home and Kansas City's caught up. Mm-hmm. So Mary, same question to you. What would you recommend?
I'd probably be along the lines of what Jenny suggested with El Pollo Rey. It's chicken only, as the name suggests, and they have fabulous grilled chicken. They serve it with tortillas and salsa, so you can make your own tacos. And, you know, if you're just starting out, everybody likes grilled chicken, right? So you add a little salsa and dip your toe into it.
Right. So what did you all think about the conversation about authenticity in tacos? I know that's always a tough one.
I think food is a human expression, and human expressions always evolve. So there is no specific point of reference, but also there are specific markers. So the answer is not yes or no. It's a little bit of everything. You have those spices, those formulas or recipes, the styles, and you have the different areas, geographic areas in Mexico that have created their own signature food, their own signature flavors. So there is original. There is definitely original. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't stop anybody from being creative and bringing new.
You know, what's interesting about what Jose said is whenever I've seen Parmesan cheese on tacos, I've always thought, oh, my God, that's so fake. And then I hear his explanation, and in just a few minutes, I'm like, oh, I get it. I get it. That it's a way of making the taco its own thing here in Kansas City.
I wonder, too, if we're not just hung up about having our own thing. Like, I don't understand why we have to have a Kansas City taco. And I'm not even sure I really believe that there is such a thing right. with Parmesan or without. I mean, we've all had fried tacos with Parmesan on it in this town. But, I just struggle because, we have so many wonderful things that we have our name on. We have our name on a steak. We have our name on a style of barbecue. Why can't we just appreciate all of the good things? I mean, really, I think what's important is about studying, and you can see it kind of ripping in my recommendations today, is learning more that, Mexican food is not just from one place or represents one region in Mexico. There's seven different regions, and they all have their own culinary stamp. And I think if we look hard enough and understand what each region is known for, we can understand a little bit more and start to figure out kind of what represents what from where. So I think that's maybe a more important conversation, I would think. But that's my opinion.
Right. Well, we've got a caller here. Let me get him. Dwight on from Edgerton. How are you, Dwight?
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning. So you had a suggestion about your favorite Mexican food?
Well, yeah, it's one of my favorite, but the one that's it's a hidden gem. It's inside a gas station on Sholto and Front Street in the Sinclair gas station. There's okay. a little small area where these young, wonderful Mexican ladies make burritos, and they'll make bowls for you. Everything scratch, everything.
And where is this again?
Frozen in there. I'm sorry?
And where is this again, you said? I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you. Where did you say this was again?
On Sholto and Front Street in Kansas City, Missouri.
Ah, okay. That sounds...
Inside the Sinclair.
Yeah, Sinclair.
Okay. One of you guys has been there?
I've heard about it. It was kind of ripping through a conversation on Facebook a couple of weeks ago that someone had kind of recently discovered this place. I don't know how long they've been there, but somebody recently kind of bubbled it up to the surface. I think somebody was telling me it was called JJ's,
okay. Maybe.
But they've got a sign in the window that talks about it, and apparently their burrito is really good. But they do other specials, too. They kind of have a steam table, a hot bar that you kind of go through and pick what you want. And
oh, God.
Tacos, burritos, and all that, if I'm getting
have
it right.
Have a wonderful day.
All right. Thanks, Dwight. Yep. Well, let me just tell you, I do not need to add another list of my places to go eat in Kansas City, but there it is. Here mm-hmm, we go. I have a feeling my list is going to get a lot longer today. I'm going to take another call here. Spencer?
Hey, hi.
Hey. So what's your recommendation?
The Carnicería San Antonio. There's two locations, but the one that I like going to is on 7th and Kansas in KCK. They have a butcher shop there, so all the meat's really fresh. They're also a tortilleria, so they make all of their tortillas fresh every day as well. And there's a little bit of lard if you don't eat pork in the tortillas, so you may want to avoid that. But I like them personally, and they've never steered me wrong. They also, on the weekends, do fresh guacamole that's just got that little hint of spice that just hits the spot.
Ugh, guacamole. Like, I could, like, eat guacamole every day. I would say I'd bathe in guacamole, but I don't really want to eat something that I bathed in. So
it'd be good for your skin.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that, Spencer. So let's go to categories. Okay, we've kind of talked about tacos a little bit. All right. So let's say I'm changing it to another person, a person visiting Kansas City who loves Mexican food, and they wanted to know, what are the best burrito places to go to? Edgar?
Sure. There is a couple of good ones that make them fresh in front of you. And so those are the favorite because they're hot and ready to go. Really delicious. I would take them to Burritos to Go on Central Avenue because they have fantastic guisados and they're really tasty.
That is not that far from me, and I pass it all the time. I know exactly where you're talking about, and I need to go try that.
Yes.
You said that you had another place?
Well, there is a couple places, but the other place would be on Minnesota Avenue, and that's Burritos La Chiquita. That's very, very good, and it's homemade burritos, family-owned business, and really is delicious.
All right. Mary, do you have any ideas?
I do. I would send them to El Patron. They've got a variety of burritos, and these are burritos that have sauce on them, so you're not going to just eat them. They're not handheld. I really like the green chili, the pork chili verde. So it's got beautiful tender chunks of pork inside that have been tossed in green chili, and then the whole burrito is smothered in green chili, and it's really a good green chili sauce.
Don't they refer to a smothered burrito as a spread?
When I lived in Austin, that's what they called them all the time.
Yeah.
Like a burrito spread.
Yeah. Some of the restaurants call it that, and others just say sauced.
Burrito with sauce. right. All right, I'm going to take a call. Hey, Al, how you doing?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
So, just one thing. There is a place that used to be a grocery store that has reincarnated, even though it also served food, as a restaurant on the corner of 17th and Summit, which is right across from Bluebird Bistro, which everyone knows probably as well, on the west side. And his mother ran the grocery store and restaurant for years, and she recently passed away. But he grew up in this restaurant, and he's using all of his mother's recipes. And it's right on the corner. He just installed all new windows and everything, so it looks shiny. But it's the original location, and all of the recipes are his mother's, and the place is called Augustus's, but, you know, there's no signage, or the signage is inadequate, so you'll have to just go there and find it. It's right on the corner of 17th and Summit.
Okay.
And
you know,
that's my recommendation. It's
thank
great family
you.
Food.
That's awesome, Al. I appreciate you calling in about that. That's another one to put on the list. Thank you.
I think Jenny and I know it as Los Alamos.
They used to be Los Alamos Market y Cocina,
yeah.
And now I think they're just Los Alamos Cocina because they've pretty much eliminated the market piece of it. But I have to say, the evolution, I live three doors down, so the evolution of that restaurant, having undergone, they've stripped all the brick back to the blonde brick, they've added all these windows that add in a lot of light, but they do have really great, I have them on my list for chicken mole.
Oh, I love chicken mole. Mm-hmm. Love, 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 love. All right, we're going to take another caller. Hey, Kate, how you doing?
Great, how are you?
Good, good, good. So you had a place to recommend?
I do. I really love El Pueblito on Southwest Boulevard.
Okay. Okay, what's your favorite thing there?
Probably their street tacos. I went on a really great first date there on a Tuesday, and their taco special is really awesome.
Well, that's good that it was a great first date, because I've had many a bad first date ruin my taste for the food at a place. So, you know, you got to be careful about those first dates in your restaurants. You know, it could be a real
Absolutely.
Bad one.
Well, thank you. We're in a good spot.
That's right. That's right. Well, thank you so much, Kate. All right.
And Taco Tuesday is a big thing everywhere. You get great tacos at a discounted price.
Exactly. Well, you know, so here's one of the things about Kansas City that I've found interesting over the years, its evolution as a real foodie kind of town, right? I mean, it's like, that's why you guys are here all the time, because there's always some different food to discuss. But Mexican stays in the pocket as being a place that you know, still is popular. I mean, there's more and more places popping up over more and more parts of the city. Have you guys noticed that?
Absolutely. And I believe that's one of the reasons we are getting to be known regionally. A lot of people, I've traveled to Omaha to visit my son quite often, and a lot of people say, oh my God, you guys have so much Mexican food. It's so fantastic. Really, it's bringing people to the city as an anchor. And I believe we need to build onto that.
Any thoughts on that, Mary?
Well, I think we've got a lot of the, you know, more traditional Mexican restaurants, and yes, we get more of those. We don't have a lot like Port Fonda, which I think is in a class by itself. It's more upscale Mexican. They have a lot of things that you wouldn't necessarily find on other menus. And
like what?
Well, a lot of places have chilaquiles. I think theirs are really special, which just smothered tortillas with an egg on top, but their salsa is so good. The other thing that they do, which I think is just a great idea, and it's a byproduct of the fact that this used to be a food truck. And Patrick Ryan, who's the chef owner there, had these special dinners for six people in the truck. And it was a pork butt with all the fixings. And he did the elote, the corn first, and I think he did maybe a ceviche. And then you get this gorgeous pork butt and all these different salsas and onions and radishes and tortillas, and you just have at it. And you can do that still in the restaurant. You just order ahead, and it's a great party item, and you can also carry it out.
Oh, that's great. So for those listening again, what would you recommend? We've got a couple of callers to get to that we'll get to after the break, but when you're craving Mexican food, where do you go? Call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. And tell us about some of your favorite things. Like, again, guacamole. I mean, you know, there's a certain place, a certain chain restaurant that everybody always talks about when it comes to guacamole. Do we know what I'm talking about?
I don't think so.
Chipotle.
Oh, okay. All right.
There are people who just like, mm-hmm. You know, even if they don't like Mexican food in general, they seem to like Chipotle's guacamole, which I think is funny. I mean, I like it too. So anyway, I think we're going to take a break right now. So we still got a lot to cover. We've got a lot to cover. I'm Michelle Tyrene Johnson on KCUR's Central Standard, and we are talking Mexican food. So you know you want to come back. Don't go away. I'm Michelle Tyrene Johnson, and I am sitting in for Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR Central Standard, and we are talking about Mexican food. So we're going to go back to one topic, but I just wanted to say one of the things about, I think, Mexican food is it's a very, especially tacos, it's a very accessible food. I mean, my grandmother, my African-American black grandmother, she made tacos as a dinner as if she... You know, knew nothing about culture or cuisine in regard to Mexican food. But, you know, to her, she knew how to put together these items and create tacos. Mm-hmm. So don't you think that that's one of the allure of Mexican food, that it seems like something that you don't have to be super fancy to go eat and truly enjoy?
So I definitely see that, and there is actually in the United States we have about 20% of the Mexican food there is. We enjoy that, but there is so much more out there. But one of the things that I know is that all of these different flavors, all of these easy ways to prepare with two or three condiments or two or three items is creativity. It's people not having a lot of means, not being able to pay a lot of money, and having to do without, and coming up with ideas to serve. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have a result. The fantastic flavors of simple things.
Right. And we were talking about Port Fonda and how it does something unique. But over the break, Edgar, you were saying you wanted to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I do. Because there are this specialty or chef or... very, very creative places. And there's those that, like on Central Avenue, they're family-owned and family-driven, and they have their own recipes, and they're creative their own way, but they are bringing all of these from back the old country, right? But there is an evolution that's taking place, and we are looking at it from afar and enjoying the results by all means, but it's happening. So comes from the Tex-Mex, where it was a mix of what you have at hand. Mm-hmm. And then it goes to the original recipes, and with the trade and I-35 and migration, we're getting products that are 100% original from the south of Mexico, not only the south of the border, mm-hmm. south of Mexico. Mm-hmm. So we're getting all these items to cook with. And that gives us all of the tacos and all of the meats. And we know everybody has chilaquiles. Everybody has cabeza. Everybody has tripe. Mm-hmm. Everybody has al pastor, mm-hmm. right? But now we're getting the regional. Mm-hmm. We're getting restaurants, small restaurants, and even the very nice restaurants in the city that are bringing food specifically from a state, mm-hmm. from the south, from the north, from a region. And we recognize those flavors and those spices to come from these areas and are enjoying. Now, the next step is taking place. Now we're getting these places such as Micheladas Culiacán. Mm-hmm. All they do is micheladas. Mm-hmm. And they have two plates more. They have ceviche and they have aguachiles. Mm-hmm. They're very good, but their main business is micheladas. Mm-hmm. And so there is Menudo, and we have La Piedad, or it's called El Jacalito, that only serves Menudo, nothing else. They have a couple other dishes, but Menudo with handmade tortillas at El Jacalito is to die for.
Oh, my God. All right. We're going to take a call from Nancy. Hey, Nancy.
Hi. How are you this morning?
Good, good, good. This is a great conversation, isn't it?
It is.
Are you getting hungry? Do you want an early lunch now?
I just had a snack. I'm not going to lie.
So what would you recommend to folks? What's your favorite?
Since I'm in Atchison, I'm going to recommend one of our Atchison locals, Lojas de Mexico. The owner learned the recipes from cooking beside her grandparents and opened the restaurant, and she didn't quite have the pork chili right. It was good, but it wasn't like Grandma and Grandpa's. Mm-hmm. So she made them come back and cook beside her again and write copious notes till she got it exactly right. So their pork chili is amazing. Freshly made guac and salsa every day. Die for.
This sounds good. Okay, great. Thank you so much, Nancy. So, Jenny, so we were talking, Edgar kind of got us on this track, and I was going to get there anyway. What is the most unusual item that is your, like, Mexican food go-to in the restaurants in Kansas City?
Most unusual.
And unusual is always a loaded way of putting things. Mm-hmm. Off the beaten track of the basics, and the basics to me are tacos, burritos, mm-hmm. enchiladas, flautas.
Well, I mean, Menudo is probably a good example. Edgar just mentioned it. You know, I've had the Menudo at Los Alamos Cocina on the corner of 17th and Summit. I think it's delicious. It's close to me. And, you know, convenience is always important when you're talking about food and needing a quick meal. I like it there very much. I've also had it at, Tio Cali, over near Antler Room on Hospital Hill. Mm-hmm. Tio Cali's been there a long time. And, yes. You know, the owner and his mother are mothers in the kitchen. They're from Jalisco. And so, you know, their menudo is really good. And menudo is special because it, you know, has the reputation of being a hangover cure. We have to kind of start there. But it's really only available on the weekends. And it's because it takes a long time to make and obviously do it right. So I think it's one of those things where you have to get outside the taco burrito enchilada realm in order to really understand more of the regional flavors. And so you really shouldn't be afraid to try something you've never had. You know, you look at the steam table at a lot of different Mexican restaurants, you know, kind of homegrown, family run, and you just always kind of go to the basics of chicken taco or whatever it is that you're normally used to. But there's a whole world of other things on that steam table that can be put over rice or put in your taco or put on a burrito. So I always ask what everything is just so I know and can choose something that I've never had before. So I don't know, Menudo might be my choice.
That sounds good. Yeah. What about you, Mary?
Well, I love mole, and it isn't it isn't on every menu because it's very labor intensive. Having made it before, I know how labor intensive it is. There are so many ingredients.
Chocolate being one of them.
Yes, exactly. And nuts and raisins. And
but there's actually like six different kinds of mole. We should say for sure.
I mean, there's at least seven classics.
Yeah.
But the ones in Kansas City are usually the chili negro. And El Patron has wonderful mole. And I love the cheese enchiladas with mole. The other one that's really great is at Cacao. And you can get a breast of chicken with the mole. And I could just drink the stuff. It's fabulous. But if you're really going kind of out there, and it's not on very many menus, if you go to Cacao's sister restaurant, they overlap owners, Ixtapa in the Northland, they have two quesadillas that are so good and just not on a lot of menus. One are the quesadillas with huitlacoche, which is corn smut. Kind of tastes like mushrooms. And the other is filled with squash blossoms.
Did you say corn smut?
I did.
Oh, my goodness.
I did.
We're going to learn a whole bunch
today.
Telling yeah,
you.
Exactly.
I'm telling you.
Really.
It is delicious.
It is.
Yeah.
And
it adds a whole other layer of umami and complexity to a dish. Yeah. You'd be surprised.
All I know is that, Mary, you today have said corn smut and pork butt. So you go down in history. You go down in history is like my favorite guest when I've had a guest host.
I take that honor with great pride.
Yes. And I'm going to hear about this later. I know. So I'm going to take a caller real quick who's been holding. Jean in Lansing, how are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I have a couple recommendations, but before that, talking about Parmesan tacos, when I grew up, Sarge's Tacos was like a block from my house, and that was a definite, the tacos were, you know, white corn shells, hamburger meat, lettuce, tomatoes, and covered in a shower of Parmesan cheese. And to this day, when I eat one like that, it reminds me of being a kid. To me, that is still what a taco tastes like. I mean, I've eaten great other tacos, but that, you know, it was a thing. I mean, it really was.
Oh, but I get it. Food and emotions and history and family, man, they really go together.
For the first 20 years of my life, that's what I thought a taco was. You know, right. When I went to Taco Bell and they had shredded cheese and sour cream, I thought, what the hell is this? I thought, what's this stuff, you know?
Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much, Jean, for sharing that.
And I did want to give a recommendation.
Okay.
Give recommendations. One of them is in Kansas City, Kansas, 7th and Central, next to the Beat gas station. There's a place called Burritos to Go. It's got
Edgar mentioned that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then the other one is at 7th and Ann, El Camino Real.
I was surprised nobody had mentioned that yet. Yeah.
30 years ago, it was a Greek restaurant, so they still have the vertical rotisserie. You walk in the door, they have the El Pastor meat with a giant pineapple up on top, and you stand there and watch them make your tortillas, and then they griddle them they have the masa there, and they have one of those big roller things, and they make the tortillas as you're standing there watching. They make the tortilla and cook the tortilla for your tacos, and their pastor tacos, I mean, they make a zillion kinds, but their pastor tacos are wonderful. Well, thank you.
Those are great recommendations.
And I just will say, in Kansas City, Kansas, it's the land of Mexican food. And you can go from 7th, you can go up Central Avenue from 17th to 14th Street, see 10 or 15 restaurants, and each one of them has different food, different salt.
You are absolutely right, Jean. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Amen, Jean.
I knew you would agree with that, Edgar.
Oh, totally. I mean, Central Avenue has 22 eateries. 18 of them are Mexican food from different regions and different dishes. But I want to go back to the specialty that we were talking about. We have fantastic seafood mm-hmm. Mexican seafood. Mm-hmm. Restaurants like El Pirata or Camaroncito, Jarochos mm-hmm. has fantastic.
I keep hearing about that place.
Oh my God, it's they're really good. Aguachiles at El Pirata. Jarochos has this mojarra frita, which is a whole fish. Mm-hmm. Delicious, mm-hmm. delicious. It's fantastic. But that's a specialty on its own.
Right.
Mexican seafood, it's a whole different world than mm-hmm. anything else.
Mm-hmm. All right. So before we close this out a little bit, isn't there an event coming up, Edgar, that you're associated with?
Yes. We have a special event for all the city to participate. It's called the Flavors of Central Tour. And the Flavors of Central Tour encompass all of the flavors, including barbecue, which we have fantastic barbecue, and anything that is on Central. It's on June 29, and the website is theflavorsofcentraltour.com.
Oh, wow. That sounds great. I live in KCK, so that would be a short drive for me. So can we have final recommendations from everyone? Like, if you just had to have one place that you wanted people to think about going, what would you, and when they went there, what would they have to order?
I will go with La Placita, which is a market at the park, Bethany Park. It's produced every other week, every other weekend. And it has such a variety of food. I mean, at La Placita, truly, you can find pupusas, you can find tacos, huaraches, you can find specialty drinks, non-alcoholic, but you can have everything there, and then from there walk all over the Central Avenue Commercial Corridor and just enjoy the variety of food and flavors.
All right. Mary?
Well, I would send people to Port Fonda, which I've already talked about, and Cacao for the mole. The one I didn't mention that we just briefly touched on is Jarochos. And what I would do if I went would be to do the omakase menu, which is chef choice. Just let Chef Carlos cook for you, and he'll bring out 5 to 10, depending on how many you want, dishes of fabulous Mexican fish and seafood.
I feel like when people go back and listen to this show, there's just going to be a whole lot of me going, that sounds so good, because y'all are mentioning such great stuff. Jenny?
So I'm going to go Tex-Mex with this. We've talked an awful lot about kind of more KCK and even upscale Jarocho and Port Fonda, but I'm going to take everybody to El Magui, and this is a recommendation from Chef Rachel Renas, who has Carbone in Parlors Market. I was picking her brain on where she likes to go, and she said, man, she said, there's, you know, it's just really good comfort food. Everything's kind of smothered in cheese and all that. They have several locations. The one I've been to is on North Oak Traffic Way, and check out their fajita selection. They actually have some really interesting fajitas, you know, obviously all the traditionals, but then they have different interesting kind of regional combinations of meat and veg on a sizzling platter. So it's not just your standard steak or chicken or shrimp. They really do have some different ones. So that's what I like to get when I go, is try a different kind of fajita platter every time I'm there.
And I realize that this is a little bit off subject, but it's completely on subject. We started off with talking about red beer. We went to Mexican food. Okay, any margarita recommendations? Any of you guys margarita drinkers?
Yes. I do like the margaritas at Port Fonda.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, margaritas at Port Fonda for sure. I know that Monarch Bar is doing a full list of margaritas from a kind of an upscale perspective. But, you know, honestly, I think most places have a pretty decent, you know, margarita. It just kind of comes with the territory somehow. But what's the place on the boulevard that's so famous for their boozy margaritas? I'm drawing a blank. Pocos?
Pocos is gone, unfortunately.
No, not Pocos. It's another one.
Ponax.
Ponax. Thank you. Yeah. Ponax is the one everybody talks about.
Yes, so. That is right. That is right.
Well, my first margarita was there, and my first Mexican food was at Manny's when I hit Kansas City all those years ago. So.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole nother hour conversation,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, that is all for today. You can catch any of this morning's conversation at kcur.org/centralstandard. You can also subscribe to the show as a podcast, also at kcur.org/centralstandard. Okay, we've had such a fun week. This filling in for Gina has been one of the hardest things I've had to do. 4 days. Gina, come back. Come back. Do this again because it is a lot of work preparing a show, but it has been awesome this week. This day in particular, talking about red beer and Mexican food. I could do that all day. This show is produced by Melody Rawl, Chris Young, Suzanne Hogan, and Nigendorf, Salisa Kalakal, plus our intern, Riley Kester. Sylvia Maria Gross is our senior producer. I'm Michelle Tyrene Johnson. Thanks again. Up to Date is next. Stay tuned.